You can't sacrifice the family. They are what holds everything together.
But how do you balance family and ministry? It's like, there is no line.
And how are we going to disciple nations if it's just the men ministering?
We can't just run with our talents, our giftings, our platforms. You walk with the King of Kings, the only one that would walk you through the darkest season of your life.
I feel grace only comes when you step in by faith.
Believe for the unbelievable.
What is all the things that we've been believing, talking about, if we don't believe now?
Family is not the sacrifice at the altar. It can't be. Well, thank you so much for joining us today. We are so excited to have you guys on the podcast.
So excited to have you guys.
For those who don't know you, tell them a little bit about you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, my name is Sebastian, and this is my beautiful wife, Melkea.
Woohoo!
And we just celebrated 5 years of marriage this past weekend. So
amazing.
5 years of covenant marriage.
And we
have an amazing son. He's just a little over 2.5 now. And another one on the way coming this October.
Oh, so exciting.
Yeah, another baby boy coming in October. And I get to work for Kenneth Copeland Ministries Canada.
Okay,
It's such an honor to work for such an amazing ministry that is touching not only this nation, but many, many nations around the globe. So I get to work as a prayer minister. I get to teach in the Bible college. We do some media broadcasts as well together.
That's
we do. Yeah. And this is my wife. She's an amazing woman of God as well. Just wanted to mention that.
She
does such an amazing job as a wife, as a mother. Mm-hmm. She does, she's an entrepreneur as well. She preaches as well too. She's very anointed, prophetic.
Very creative too.
Very, very creative. Yes. That's right.
Yes.
Basically my better half. Yeah. If you're to sum it up in one phrase. But I'm a truly a blessed man, and we're a blessed couple. Yeah. I love you.
That's awesome. Yeah.
Well, today we wanted to hear about your guys' journey.
Yeah,
We know a little bit about it, not much, but we want to know more. We want to hear how God has worked in your lives and even through your lives. Mm. We want to hear where you guys have traveled to. I know that that's been a part as well, and.
We know that you guys have such a huge evangelistic heart. Mm. Like, I know you guys are both passionate about that. We want to hear about those. We want to hear testimonies of what the Lord has done in your family, what you've seen around the world. Mm. We want to hear it all. So.
All right. Yes. I think even before we got married, we both had calls from the Lord separately to evangelism. I know for me, going back to 2010 is when I gave my life to the Lord, 2009.
Okay.
So I got radically encountered by the Lord. It was it was September 1st, 2009. I was at this Pentecostal youth camp, and I come from a Baptist background, you know, like you don't raise your hands during worship. So I'm sitting there at this old chapel on Vancouver Island, making fun of people for raising their hands. I'm going to simplify this, but then the Holy Spirit like hits me, like I'm crying uncontrollably, bawling, and I'm trying to run out because I'm embarrassed, but I'm stuck to the chair. Wow. I can't get up. So I knew right away, this is a supernatural occurrence. Anyways, fast forward, I repent in that moment, and I ran to the front crying, Jesus, Jesus. And in that moment, I experienced two separate, I didn't have terms at the time because no one taught me this is what a baptism. But first, there was this love that came, like a tangible, liquid love that filled every part of my being. Like it penetrated not only my body, but every fiber of my being. Yeah. And then it came a fire. And it was such a tangible fire that I literally opened my eyes. I thought I was on fire. But that came and again entered my being. And at that time, I actually heard, I don't know, some people may find this controversial, but I heard an audible voice speaking about my life, what I've been through, and what I'm going to do. And that was the commission, the voice. At the time, I thought it was a pastor. Yeah. So funny enough, afterwards, I went to the pastors like, how did you know that about me? Like, you guys have never met me. Like, how did you speak that?
Right.
And the pastors are like, no one came near you. Everyone was just scared because you were so loud. You're like shaking, yeah. You're bawling, yeah. You're like yeah. loud. Everyone's yeah. quiet. So nobody came near to wow. you. So I knew,
wow
God, wow. this wow. was you or yeah. wow. an angel was the Lord.
Yes.
And that's when I felt that was the commission mm-hmm. to take the gospel mm-hmm. to the four corners of the earth. So coming wow. back from that weekend, yeah. we just went right into evangelism. I remember going with my brothers to the downtown east side, mm. preaching the gospel a lot of the weeknights. And then churches invited us to help with their outreaches. And just to fast forward very quickly, I got to go to Bethel School of Ministry. We did 3 years yeah. in Redding, California with yeah. Pastor Bill Johnson,
right,
an yeah. amazing man of God. And mm-hmm. yeah, from there, the Lord opened doors to go to the nations. And wow. I think I counted something mm-hmm. like 16 or 17 nations that we wow. got to go and okay. minister the gospel in churches and conferences and outdoor crusades. And wow. It's just been an amazing journey of the Lord. But
yeah.
I could let my wife speak as well before we got married.
Yeah. What was that journey like?
All the time here,
what was that journey like for you, Lucia?
Yeah. How, yeah. How did God
call
you?
I was a pastor's kid growing up. And so I was kind of used to all the, you know, going to church. Mm-hmm. And
yeah.
But I think when I was around 9 years old, I gave my life to the Lord when I was 5. But then I was around 9 years old and I started to ask God. I'm like, Lord, there's just nothing satisfying me anymore.
Mm.
And at about 11, I remember going to my room and I was actually so obsessed with supernatural stuff because all I've known was religion. I know I sang, I love you, Jesus. And I've always yeah. had that heart. But I was like, I just want to know power at the time. And what happened was I actually got really obsessed as like a middle schooler in researching the opposite side, which is like aliens, Illuminati, witchcraft, and all that stuff, okay. to a point that it actually consumed me that for like wow. 2 weeks, night and day after school, that's all I would do.
Yeah.
To a point there was one night where this dark blanket just hovered over my head and I came to my parents and I said, I'm not okay. There's something over my head. And so they prayed for me. My mom burnt my research book on the bathtub. And then since then,
Thank you, Mom.
Yeah. So,
I've done some stuff like that with my mom,
yes,
too. So
I'm glad I'm not the only
yeah.
one.
Yeah.
It's been some burning. Yep.
My totally. Mom burned all my rock and roll shirts, CDs, books. Thank you, Mom.
So next time I went to my room the next week and I just remember looking, I'm like, God, it's either I want all of you and I want the real you. Or I'm walking away. I don't want any religion anymore. Mm. And so it was really awkward at first. I remember just sitting on my coffee cup and just like, I'm going to go on a coffee date with Jesus. And nothing would happen. But as soon as I started to just listen to Benny Hinn, my dad was a big fan of Kenneth Copeland in the Philippines growing up. And there was once like a small little office in Kenneth Copeland in the Philippines that he was a part of back in the day, you know, and he did a lot of 700 Club, Benny Hinn Crusades at the time. So he had all this history. But I remember just starting to spend time with the Lord for the first time. And then it just accelerated to a point where as like an 11-year-old, I was fasting for 4 or 5 hours every single week. I was waking up too early for a kid to wake up to pray. And I just got so consumed. I started soaking before I even knew what soaking in worship was. Mm-hmm. I started encountering angels. And the best part was I started to be so filled by the love of God. Mm-hmm. And it changed me and it wrecked me forever. And I was praying for a church at the time. And before that, there was this minister that we went to. His name was Michael Stampley. And it was my first church in a Nigerian church. And when I walked in, I'm like, he has a great voice. But then he hit that note and suddenly the heavens just opened and just women in robes just started rolling and screaming. And the next thing you know, I was on my knees and I started speaking in tongues. I got filled by the Holy Spirit and I got baptized and I said, Lord, I will never be the same again. And so I got radically changed and moved. And the little girl was really nervous to going to freshman high school, became so radical for the Lord that my school became my missions field. So every week I would ask Jesus, Lord, who is it this week? Mm-hmm. And God became so real, and that I could not step into my school and not be okay. Because I literally see just burning fire everywhere. Wow. Just burning fire and just the compassion of the Lord. It's like, these kids are going to go to hell if they don't know Jesus. And I just be microwaving my food. And I just be listening to Carrie Job that I like recorded, voice recorded on my phone because I didn't have data at the time. I had a Nokia phone. I was really lame. And so I and then God would give me names and people who had cancer. I would pray for them in the bathroom. And I started to pray for people. And I'm like, I don't know how to preach the gospel for the first time. So I remember going to my dad. He gave me a little outline. And so I draw this little picture. I put them by the fire hydrant every lunchtime. And day by day, someone would get saved. And it just became natural. Mm-hmm. And at the time, I remember there was this one night. And I said, Lord, who is it today? Mm. And there was this one girl that the name dropped. And her name was Angela. And I said, no way. Gah. And I asked three times. And the Lord said, Angela, Angela. I'm like, but Lord, she's just, it's like nobody really hangs out with you, with her, et cetera. And then I asked her if like you wanted to hang out with me. And she was really amazed that like I wanted to. So the day that we were supposed to hang out for lunch, she wasn't there. And then I just remember like being ditched by her. And I was like, I can't believe this. Mm-hmm. And then the next day, I was like, hey, you ditched me. Like, where were you? Like, I told you I'm going to share you this amazing news. I was like, oh, I'm so sorry, because I actually was in the hospital, like, because I tried to kill myself. And she had like a big, like, just like dark things around her neck. It was really dark. And she said, I didn't want to live, but too bad that they caught me too early. And I remember being in the staircase and just preaching the gospel to her, the simple gospel, and light just flooded her. Mm-hmm. She received Jesus. And it was those moments that really impacted me. And I just remember it was, I think, Easter Sunday. And they were playing just like a Reinhard Bonnke, like just flashed on a church like that. Mm-hmm. I remember I would just cry and we would never see, like, is that really real? And I got on my knees. And as someone who's creative, who has a lot of ambition, who entrepreneurial, I have all these like big worldly dreams. I'm like, I'm going to change the world. But then I remember being on my knees and I just see myself in the crowd of people in crusades and preaching to masses the gospel. And I said, Jesus, like, and the Lord said, there will be a time where you're going to drop everything. And this is all that's going to matter. And so I had a glimpse at the time I was 12 already, a glimpse of my life. I didn't know that who I was going to marry. You know, the kind of door that I was going to open. But yeah, and it's just never been the same since. Mm-hmm. And I think some people say, like, there's nothing that brings me more joy when there's healing. Like, there's nothing that brings me more joy when a baby comes back to the father. Mm-hmm. And that just, I don't know, something about their eyes, their face, their light, and how the heavens open. It just, it just wrecks me. Like, I'm not okay every time it happens.
That's amazing. Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
What was it like for you guys coming together? Like, you know, you both had strong encounters with the Lord and this passion to share the gospel in such a like radical way. Yeah. What was that like for you guys coming together?
Yeah, so we met in just at the end of 2019.
Yeah.
We started talking. It's kind of like an online dating. Melchior was going to school at Bethel at the time, and I was here in Vancouver, and Melchior came for Christmas, and we kind of went on, what, 7 consecutive dates in a row? And then and then I'm like, okay, I want to be your man. Let's get married. Yeah. So we got married during COVID season. It was July 2025. So
2025.
2020. I'm thinking this year. Whoops, 2020.
That would not be right.
No. Yeah. It's like this month.
Yeah.
Congratulations.
You just got married.
Two kids coming. Yeah.
So July 2020. And yeah, it was interesting. I remember right before we got married, I was in Malaysia and they cut the trip short. All the conferences are canceled. Hey. You have to come back. And so we got married. Actually, the day after our marriage, they're closing everything down. They even told us the limit is going to be something like 6 people that can attend your wedding.
Oh,
so
we're
able to like sneak in maybe like 20, 30 people to our little white chapel for our wedding.
Awesome.
But it was interesting because everything was closing down.
Right.
So we're like, Lord, I thought we're going to get married.
Yeah.
We had like so many open doors in the nations. Okay, what are you doing now, Lord?
Yep.
So in the beginning, it was online ministry.
Okay.
We were ministering online and the Lord blessed Melchia with an amazing TikTok ministry at the time. I think in a short time, you gained something like over 20,000 followers.
Oh, wow.
So we're ministering online. I was co-hosting the Voice of Hope broadcast at the time. And ministering locally as well. So it's interesting. We got married and we're like, Lord, I thought, here are the nations, and the Lord's like, no.
And then the world shut down.
And the world shut down.
Isn't it
then,
funny how the Lord works in mysterious ways?
Absolutely.
Right?
And the Lord's like, hey, we're going to transition and pivot. But I feel like during this time, the Lord taught us a lot of things. I remember right after we got married, we got an opportunity to pastor, and it was a pretty big church in Vancouver.
Yeah.
I won't name the name, but it's like, hey, do you want to be associate pastors? And I'm like, yes. And Melchia is like, I don't know. I have a check. Maybe we should pray about it.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, but honey, this is great. Look at this church. I think it seats like something like 1,500 people. It's a big church. They've experienced revivals in the past. Let's do it. And Melchia's like, I don't know. I don't feel the Lord on this. So eventually we said no.
Mm-hmm.
And I think a week later, this is pretty vulnerable. Like the pastor was fired by the board.
Oh, wow. Okay.
The pastor uncovered a lot of promiscuous stuff going between the board members, and the pastor's like, hey, this cannot happen.
Mm-hmm.
So there was a coup that happened and they actually fired the pastor. So we would have been fired. A week later. But through that, I learned that my wife really hears the Lord.
Yes.
That she has a gift of discernment that I can trust.
Trust your wives.
That's amazing.
That's right.
That's
amen.
So good.
And
so
that was a blessing.
Yeah.
I've always trusted you. But that really showed me like, wow, my wife really hears the Lord. And I think that was a key. I'm going to let you share in a little bit. But that was a key lesson that the Lord taught me, and I guess both of us, to make decisions together in agreement.
Yeah.
And if we're not in agreement, then we need to seek the Lord until we're in agreement, because it's only in agreement that there's authority in it.
That's good.
And did really you want to share something about that journey?
When that whole thing started, I was also at BSSM in my first year. He already graduated. He was traveling. He was traveling with big names. And so I was really excited, especially when you're at Bethel. You're like, revival. Like, we're going to take over the world. And I'm like, I'm going to marry an evangelist. Like, he's going to so many nations. Doors are opening. And then suddenly, as he was saying, everything just shut down on our faces. And it was a season of dying and death to self. And it was just at a point where, as we are learning how to unite our voices together and our agreement together, but also walking and being sensitive with the Holy Spirit, as doors were being offered to us, I'd hear the Lord say, no, not yet. And there'd be things where there'd be warning signs and it's really hard to just kind of stand up and say, no, this is not what I really feel. But eventually the Lord would just bring confirmation. And I think the Lord is trying to make like make a masterpiece out of us. He was like chipping things away that were individual and making us one.
Yeah.
And but also that reflects the image of Jesus together.
Yeah.
And we went through a lot even just after that. We were working with Kenneth Copeland Ministries and we were believing to have a baby. It was taking a while. And then we actually ended up getting pregnant. And then when that journey happened, what happened was that one of our baby was a topic and they were forcing us for abortion. And it was a really, really tough time. And I just remember going home and the doctor said, you have no chance. You will die when you, if you keep this baby. This baby has zero chance. Yeah. You're going to go to a bigger hospital where they have the equipment and everything there. And they're just going to tell you to abort this baby. And I remember going home. It was the worst day of my life. It was just, it just crushed me so much. And I was just crying in the car. And I love that I have a faith husband. And I have been so blessed by this ministry because I don't know where I'd be, especially in that time. Like God really set us up at this time in this ministry, especially in the hard, one of the hardest seasons that we walked through. And I just remember, and Sebastian just said, no, no, we're not going to go. We're not going to abort this baby. We're going to believe. We're going to pray. And it sounds stupid in the eyes of the world. Like, you could die, but we're going to believe in faith because God is a God of miracles. And, like, what is all the things that we've been believing, talking about if we don't believe now? And the doctor called, and the doctor was, like, yelling on their phone, blah, 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 like, don't you know what you're going to do to your wife? She's going to die, blah, blah, blah. So, but I felt this inch in my spirit. Like, I know it's the opposite, but I really feel still to kind of just go and see what they're going to say. And usually it was still COVID at the time, and they weren't allowing husbands to go, but they made an exception with him. And so Sebastian was just reading out loud the Bible and just like, like just confessing it. And the whole unit could hear him. And some were getting so irritated and annoyed. And he was just confessing it. And then there was this one doctor that was actually a, she was on mat leave. She wasn't supposed to be there, but no one was there and they really needed her. And thank you, Jesus. I think he put, he really put her there. And and she said, you know what? Let's give it time. Let's just give it time. And I'll monitor if your hormones double up, then you should be good. We'll just give it time. And she left for a second and the nurses were actually, without my permission, was gonna put the injection and abort the baby
to
without
start the process.
Yeah, without my permission, without the doctor's permission. And I was so grateful my husband was there because I was just so out of it. I thought I was gonna faint, and he said, "Like stop right now." And I just remember walking out of that hospital with my hands raised up, didn't care what others was saying, and I said, "Like thank you, Jesus, I get to keep my baby." And everyone, you know, when you go into ER, everyone is just so hopeless. They're all staring at me, but I see that like God's magnifying light just shine through us that day. And we find out that, we were pregnant and we walked through because we found out there's a twin, walked through miscarriage at that season with our boy's twin. And it's still like the goodness of God that I hold my baby now that's over 2.5 years old. And I'm like, thank you, Lord, you know? And there were things that was painful because we had to learn how to also celebrate but mourn at the same time. And there's so much in eternity that we'll get to enjoy and see, only see in part in here. But I'm like, Lord, I surrender that trust in you. And we just found out because I was adamant that I was going to have a girl because I'm like, it's going to be a girl, guys. And then it was a boy. And then I realized, Lord, this is like this. We are walking in his redemption. Like we are walking in his redemption. In the valley of the shadow of death, you walk with the King of Kings, the only one that would walk you through the darkest season of your life. Mm-hmm. You know?
Yeah.
The, I think the valley is part of the is the testimony, is part of the intimacy in the journey. Everyone wants the mountaintop, but the mountaintop is only the product of the valley that you walk through, because there all the distraction goes away. Yeah. All other counterfeit lights goes away, because there's only Jesus. Yeah. And when things die, there's a resurrection. I just remember Bill Johnson's first day of school said, if you have an opportunity, take every opportunity to die, because there will be a resurrection. Mm. And that really impacted me, because now I have an offering of praise that only we could give him, because he's worthy of it all. Like at the end of the day, it's all about Jesus, and he works all things for good. Yeah. And I remember last summer, my Sebastian was carrying our boy in the park. And for a long time, you know, I always thought there was something missing, because we lost one boy. And I remember looking at them, God, we're complete, like completely whole because of your blood. We're completely whole. And I could praise you for everything that has happened, because it's all in your hands. Mm. And that's just the goodness of God.
Yeah. Mm. Wow.
Yeah.
Amen.
Oh my
Amen.
Goodness. What a testimony. Wow.
Yeah.
You know, I loved what you said, Malkia, that in the valley, you even experience a side of God that you wouldn't otherwise if you weren't in the valley, right? You get to see a different side of him that is meant for that time, because he wants you to experience that side of him. He wants you to know him as the comforter, as the one who comes close when you're those times of despair, when you're mourning. There's a side of him that only you can see when you're in those times, right? And that is so precious. And wow, what a testimony, you guys. Such another baby boy on the way now. Wow.
Yeah.
Amazing. Yeah. I love that.
I love to hear how you guys have worked together and fed each other's faith, right? And that happens through relationship and in marriage. That can happen through friendships and whatnot. But the way that you guys have you know, stewarded each other's faith in some seasons, like you were saying, she sounded like the Holy Spirit in a wise decision. And he provided, you know, faith of like, let's keep going and let's believe for the unbelievable.
Yeah.
And I love that God puts the right people in front of you.
Totally.
And when you get married, it's the right person next to you the whole time to kind of give a voice and to help support in that way. And so I want to hear about what it's like now having a family and ministry, right? That's one of the biggest parts about this podcast, is everyday life and ministry. Also, God is involved throughout our entire lives and how we are. He commanded us to go preach, share the good news, to go heal. And so what does that look like now married with a family?
Yeah. It's, I think it's an ongoing journey. I remember early on, we were married. We just had our baby boy, Zion. And that was probably like 4 or 5 months in. I started traveling and I think I was gone a couple of cities, and at one point, Melke is like, hey, we're supposed to do this parenting thing alone, right? Not just me at home with our baby boy. And I'm like, yeah, you're right, honey. Yeah. So I need to kind of course correct here and help you.
She's a wise one.
So I kind of got carried away and I'm like, oh, traveling. But I remember, yes, we're doing this together.
Yeah.
But it's been interesting. Early on, we remember traveling at one point to like Nashville and Edmonton, and we have our little boy. He's like 6 months with us on the planes, and I'm like, Lord, this is a bit different.
Tell them about the Benny Hinn.
Benny, we were invited to be at this Benny Hinn Stadium event, front row, and anyways, we show up with Zion, and I think it was Benny Hinn's assistants, like.
Yeah.
Sebastian, you didn't tell me about this. Like, you know, you know, Pastor Benny does not tolerate crying babies.
Right. Yeah. So, distractions, right? Yeah. Yeah.
So we're like, fing fast. So Melchia got this like little shawl and covered Zion. So we're in the front row praying, oh God, let Zion not cry.
Yeah.
So we don't get kicked out in front of like 10,000 people, get embarrassed here on a big scale. But thankfully, he didn't cry, and it was a powerful meeting.
That's awesome.
Hidden baby.
Pastor Benny hidden prophesied baby, over Melchia.
Oh, wow.
I think Pastor Benny knew because he's walking. Yeah. He's like, like, this is an unusual bulge. Yeah.
Do you need healing?
See, everyone's like so tense and so nervous, and I'm like praying in tongues. Shut up.
Stay sleeping. Oh, wow. I can't do that now.
But we found out that I had to make room for Melchia in our ministry. I remember quite a church in Edmonton, a bigger church, who's having me minister a couple of sessions. I'm like, hey, they haven't gotten Melchia up here yet. So it was like Sunday service. Yeah. And I'm like, I would want to invite my beautiful wife to come up to the stage. And she has something to share. She's anointed as well. And she's not just to be in the background to look after her son. And Melchia came up. Yeah. So I've learned to make room for Melchia to know that she has a voice, she has something that she carries, and I want to make room for her. And there's been a couple of times where I'm like, hey, honey, why don't you come up and share? And I think the Lord's taught me to be okay with that, because now we're, the Bible says, once you're married, you become one flesh. Mm-hmm. But even so more in ministry, even though we both carry different giftings, different anointings, when we come together, there's a there's a beautiful synergy of the anointing. And I've learned to make room for that. Even like a week and a half ago, we're ministering, hosting this event, and I felt the Holy Spirit on Melchia, the anointing on Melchia. And I'm like, hey, honey, why don't you do this? Why don't you take the offering as well? I was supposed to take it. And so I think we've learned to be secure in our identity, that we're not running. We don't want the mic, but we just want to be so sensitive to the Holy Spirit. Even though I'm in a place where it's my session, I'm supposed to be ministering. If I feel the Lord saying, hey, bring your wife up, or if I sense that she's carrying something for that moment, I'm okay to say, hey, honey, come up and defer to her and trust that the Holy Spirit knows what he's doing. He knows the people that are there, what they need to hear, and that if Melchia is the one that needs to release. And so it's kind of this beautiful journey, an ongoing journey. And
that's awesome. That's a that's a good man right there. Because a good man is a protector, a provider, and a promoter.
Ooh, amen. I like that.
And so promoter. What you do as a man is promoting your wife, even though you know it's your session.
Yeah,
but, you know, you promote, you promote your kids, you promote your wife. Yeah, it's
and
good.
It's very counterfeit to his culture. Actually, and so it really
is
a lot.
In yours as well?
No, I grew up with my dad. No, here's the mic, like almost like shoving it in my mouth growing up. So to me, it's normal, but I am really blessed when he does that, because we're both walking in the Holy Spirit. And so I'm like, okay, I'm done. Here's the mic back. But it's just, it's almost like we're both walking in it together, not just one man, but together. And I love that. One day, our kids would get to see that unity.
Yeah.
And I think it also is a product of how we do life behind the scenes as well.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And so he's a great encourager. Yeah. One of the best encourager.
Yeah.
I know. Aww. It's not the best.
I think early on, I got a prophetic word from a well-known prophetic voice internationally, and says, Sebastian, your wife is not just going to be in the background. You're not going to be on the stage and your wife is going to be at home. You're going to be a 1A and a 1B. She's going to be right by your side. And I really felt that Melchia is that. Yeah. She's supposed to be by my side. And even though some churches are not always accommodating to that, but I've kind of broken some rules, and I feel I need to make room. And I feel we're in a season where the Lord's also highlighting women, that women are not just meant to be pretty. Mm-hmm. They're not just meant to take care of kids. They're not just meant to be at home to take care of the house, but
they have an anointing. They have a voice. Yeah. And God wants to use women. How are we going to disciple nations if it's just the men ministering? That's How are we going to reach the whole world of the gospel? It's not just the men, but it's got to be the women. And I feel the Lord saying, hey, I want to raise up my daughters. I want to raise up my women because they carry something powerful. And I feel the Lord is restoring that to the body of Christ. So it's an honor to walk side by side in ministry. And
it breaks the back of religion. That's for sure. It really triggers people.
It really does. Yeah,
it does.
You'll know.
Tell him to read the Old Testament. You know, Moses was saved by a woman. If she didn't save him, there'd be no Moses. Yeah. He'd be still in a river.
Come on.
Exactly. Well, who was the first person that Jesus told that he was risen?
Come on.
Go tell other people.
That's right.
That was a woman. Yeah.
That was a woman.
Yeah, absolutely.
Come on.
My favorite women is Deborah and Jael. Just like right in the head.
Come on. Amen.
That's amazing.
Amen.
What would you guys say as I'm listening to you guys speaking? I feel like you guys have so much wisdom, and just as you've walked in your 5 years of marriage and ministry and family and babies and parenting, what would you say to any young couple right now that is listening right now and they're starting a family and they may be, you know, in ministry or just starting, or maybe they just got saved and they're ready to go and evangelize? What would you say to them? What would be some encouragement or some anything that you would say to them right now?
I would say, first of all, live by faith, trust God. Surrender your life fully to God and live by faith and not by sight. I remember when we got married, people are like, are you sure you want to do this? It's COVID. Shouldn't you wait till next year? And I'll just be very vulnerable. We did not have a place to live. Yeah. I remember I had debt. I was paying off debt. And in the natural, it looks like what are we doing? Like, this is not wise.
Yes, right.
But by faith, we said, no, we heard from God. We know we're meant to be married. We're going to do this by faith. And there's something about, I'm hearing a lot from our younger generation, that we just want to wait till we have all the finances. We just want to wait till we're ready. But I feel grace comes when you make that decision by faith. Yep. And Ephesians says it is by faith.
That's right.
Through grace. So I feel that a lot of times it's tempting for the younger generation to look at the economy and say, oh, I'm just going to wait till things turn around to even get married or to have kids or to step out in God's calling. But I feel the Lord's calling us in this journey by faith.
That's right.
Because He's the one providing. He's the one that saved us. He's the one that brought us together. He's the one that provides. He's the one that anoints. He's everything. And I feel grace only comes when you step in by faith. When you're looking from afar, the grace is not there. But once you make that decision by faith, that's when grace comes. So once we made that decision to get married, the Lord provided. We had our honeymoon in a hotel by the ocean in Vancouver. We got an amazing COVID rate. We stayed a whole month in a hotel by the ocean. And then the Lord provided step by step. So I would say go by faith. Don't go by feelings. Don't go by intellectual. Don't go by the economy, stepping it by faith. It's a journey of faith. I'll let you share before I.
That was good, Annie. That was really good.
That was a good word. Very good.
I would say, I think what I'm going to say sounds really traditional as a Gen Z, but I'm going to go there.
Okay. Go there.
I just marry the right person and, you know, be led by the Holy Spirit. Because when you marry that person, there's no exit door. You know, divorce is not an option. And too many times when you're in marriage, the enemy will come to attack the mind and the hearts of the people, trying to look elsewhere, or if we did this, we did that. And, you know, it was just actually recently, we went on a coffee date and we had a talk. I'm like, tell me the lies. Bring it in the light, because these are the lies. And we realized that they were the same pattern of lies. And there were regrets. There were questioning if we married the wrong person, which is completely ridiculous as we were speaking it out loud. Yeah. And we prayed about it and we broke it off. But these were lies that were lingering, you know, and you be united together and don't give your authority to other people or what others would say.
Come on.
Because once you do, whether that's parents, doctors or best friends or whoever that is, you're giving your authority in your marriage away. And that authority needs to stay between the two of you because that's your power. That's your hold. And the most important things is go back to the cross. If you have problems or you're staring away, go back to the cross, go back and lay your life down to Jesus, fast together, pray together, because only the cross will bind you.
Yeah.
And would heal you and would set you free even from generational curses. I'll tell you, I came from a family where there are divorces and it haunted me for the first few years that I'm going to have a divorce too. The amount of assault that the enemy wants, because the amount of impact that you have as a couple, also the babies that you're going to produce. Come you on. Don't know who you're going to give birth to. You Come don't on. Know. When I look at my son, I don't look at one man. I looked at millions of people that will one day be touched by the gospel because of this one person. I'm not just raising a nobody. I'm raising a Samuel, a prophet to the nations. There will be thunder. That's Come his on. Name. And there's authority in that. And the enemy is scared of that because you being united affects that person's destiny and that's this life.
Yep.
And so you need to be strong in your faith. And that's one thing I love about Sebastian. And it's just, at the end of the day, it's all about him. And if there's someone out there that really does feel hopeless, like there's no situation out there, you know, look into Jesus' eyes and just die to yourself. I learned to really submit to my husband, and people has issues with submitting to your husband. I'm like, excuse me? I'm just like, well, I'd rather throw out Jezebel out the window than me being divorced and trying to, you know, be an empowered woman, as the world would say. But submitting to your husband actually takes courage. It takes a submission to the Lord first, because the Lord is your head first, and now you can submit to the authority of your husband and trusting him. That it could be painful. Yeah, he could make mistakes, but you know, the Lord has a way of gracing it all. And I just remember, I actually just wanted to share this quick story. This January, we were in Hawaii for a vacation, and long story short, I was trying to snorkel at like a day where there was 40 feet waves for the first time, and I was about to drown, and he was with the baby, and I'm trying to wave. I'm like, help, save me, I'm gonna drown. And it's like, do you want a selfie? I'm like, there's no one out here who can save me now. And
we're sharing this.
And I just remember I had this, like, you know, when your life is about to end, it just flashes before your eyes. It was that. It was literally that. And the enemy was trying to kill me, but I think the Lord allowed it so that it would kill my fears. And I just remember looking at my husband, and I just said, Lord, I know I have a great need. That baby has a great need of me still. And I'm like, I don't even care about everything else, the distractions, all the things that would weigh life. And I'm like, I want to stand beside that man no matter what. Like, I'm not going anywhere. And thankfully, God saved me from everything and really reminded me of the destiny and everything. But yeah, it's just staying united, and the Lord is gracious and good. And
that's right. And I think in a lot of ways, ministry begins at home before before it manifests on a platform,
that's
on a stage.
Yep.
And I feel the Lord is jealous for families.
Yes.
We don't have to look far to see that the devil has attacked families.
Yep.
And the devil, we know the devil is not creative. He always responds. So he sees the destiny on families, God's desire to use families, and he attacked. So I feel the Lord's restoring the family as an altar, you could say, not maybe necessarily a physical, but a spiritual 100%. Altar, a unit that is so united, that is so full of love, full of honor, that
beholds the glory of God. And I feel that's been something the Lord has been emphasizing. Hey, your time together as a family is ministry.
Yeah.
100%.
And you know, I feel even in this season, we spend a lot of times even parenting, but I feel like the Lord is in this place where the family unit is being restored, not just in our lives, but I feel prophetically, corporately, as a dwelling place for the glory of God, where families will go into cities and communities, and the glory of God is going to rest on families, and children will be raised in a place where they feel so loved, they feel so secure, they feel so empowered, that we're going to see our kids be missionaries, not when they're 20, 30, 40, but I feel as young as like 5 and 6, 7, and they're going to go into their communities beholding that glory of God and see people touched, people saved and healed and delivered. I feel that's part of where God is moving in this season. He's moving in families, and family is actually ministry. Investing in family is our first ministry, obviously first to the Lord, but then I believe it's to the family. And I feel, especially in our culture, growing in a Romanian church, we've seen where it's like the husband, especially if he's called to ministry, you just release him. You don't expect him to parent, and that's caused a lot of hurts in families. Family has been sacrificed on the altar of ministry, because that's the most important. Family is secondary, but I feel the Lord's restoring family. I feel in my heart, actually, there's a jealousy of the Lord for the family unit again to be revived, to be whole, to be strong, to be united. And I feel it's going to be such a testimony to the world. In a day, the Bible says in the last day, the love of many will grow cold. And when the world will look and say, man, how is your family thriving? How are you guys still in love? How are you guys still walking in honor? How is your child healthy? This is the Lord. They will say, this is so supernatural. This is so unusual. This has got to be otherworldly. Right. So I feel it's going to be such a massive testimony to the world in these times that we're in and the times to come.
I agree. You can't sacrifice family is not the sacrifice at the altar. Come it on. Can't be. That would defeat the whole purpose of salvation and generations, and you can't sacrifice the family. They are what comes next. They are what holds everything together. And I even the actions within a family, I feel sometimes preach. Like we went to Bethel last week, and we saw, was it Carrie Job and Cody Carnes? And they had their little boy, and he was on stage, I think like probably 6. And he had his headphones, and he had a drum pad, and he was like really good, surprisingly. I don't think it was being fed out in the public, but he was like, the drummer was right next to him, and he was like on beat with him and everything. It was a 2-hour worship night, and he's 6. So at one point, it's all like calm. He drops a drumstick.
It was super loud. It was during the quietest moment of a song, and he drops his drumstick
on the floor, and. We talked about it after, of like, you know, what did you feel like? What how was that for you? And what did you experience? And I like, the first thing that came to me was the part that touched me the most was seeing Carrie Job as a worship leader on the mic at the front row. She turns around and looks at her son, and then she walks up to him, and she, you know, starts talking to him, and she bends down and she begins to like, hey, like, are you okay? Like, you can see it. Everyone's still worshiping. Nobody's moving, but she's having this parenting moment right there on the stage. It's not like,
it
wasn't like, get him out of here. It wasn't anything like that. It was like loving. And then, you know, they take off the headphones. She like walks him backstage and then comes back. And I'm like, that moment for me right there, building your son up to be on stage with you at a huge church. There was what, like 5,000 people in that room? It was packed. And to just like take everything off, come and parent, and then, you know, and then come back. That moment preached, you know, the way that it's like God's love in that space, you know, when God takes a moment to love you, when you go and take a moment to be with God and be loved by him, it was like that. It was, and it just preached. That moment alone was more than what the worship night was. Not to say that worshiping God is not, you know, it was amazing and beautiful. And I love the part of worshiping together, but that part spoke and preached so much louder than any other message that weekend. And so, yeah, parenting, families, so important.
That's so good. That reminded me, we were at a coffee date with one of our spiritual dads, and the theme that's been kind of spoken to us consecutively was that this Sebastian, like, you know, I asked this question because this man, he is he has crusades all over the world, and I said, how do you balance family and ministry? And it's like, kind of looked at me weird, and he said, there is no line. It's both. And looked at Sebastian and he said, I'm like, your family is just as important as the crusades that you will hold.
So good. Yeah, that's been one lesson the Lord's. I could be really vulnerable. The Lord's been teaching me it. Because there's so much pressure. You have a lot of friends that are doing so many amazing things, and people are like, hey, like, you know, like, why aren't you writing this book? Why aren't you doing this? Why aren't you? And I know that's part of the call, but we felt in this season that it's okay to invest in each other and our son, and it's okay to choose a slower pace. It's and the Lord's being so full of grace and mercies, keeps opening doors that we're like, really? Like, I never like put my name out there. That's been something the Lord said, never ask pastors to give you a place to preach. And the Lord just keeps opening doors, even though we've chosen to, some people say like, that's a little slow. You know, you're prioritizing family, but I feel it's the Lord's design to have us this foundation that is strong together, that is united, that is full of him, and that is whole, that is healed, that doesn't have open doors for the enemy to exploit later on. And we've unfortunately we've seen that in couples where and I don't want to give examples maybe specifically, but where the enemy comes in right after a massive ministry, they just come home and anyways, the enemy comes in, and anyways, I won't give specific examples because they might be watching. God is good through it all.
Amen. I think because there's that conversation that we had that before, when you give the enemy like just a little crack in the door, you know, you say it.
You give a little foothold, the enemy will take the whole door. So I think in the season, the Lord's saying, hey, let's close these doors. Receive my healing. Renew your mind. Yeah. So from the past season, my mind was all like ministry was everything. Like platform, who you know. If you look at my photos on social media, it was all of like leaders. It was always like, you know, unfortunately, there's an industry out there there's this ladder, like who you know, who you connect, and people are like, if you do this, you'll be promoted here. And if, anyways, but I just felt, Lord, we just want to love you.
Yeah.
We just want to love each other well. We want to be healed and whole and strong, united, have this foundation that is so in you, rooted in your love, rooted in your word, that as we step out, it's something that is whole. It's like a tree that has roots deep in the ground, that when the storm comes, it won't be uprooted. So I feel sometimes the foundation, digging that foundation, is just as important as building. And sometimes you can be tempted, especially as a young couple, like, oh, we got to go. Or especially for the man, if he's called, oh, I got to go, honey. You know, I got open doors here. I got to go do it. And and not every open door is a God door. When people see the anointing, people see the gifting, of course they're going to want you to come. But I feel the Lord saying, where you're digging deep for your roots to go, for your foundation, is just as important what is going to be on top of the ground.
And I think it's also part of healing of the nations. But I really see that there is even a Gen Z movement right now, in the ministries that are blowing up, there's a pattern for deliverance. And I think the Lord is after deliverance, but after bloodlines, the cleansing of the bloodlines. And a part of that is because he wants his bride, you know, the purification and the sanctification of his bride. Because I really feel, I remember that time when we, in our wedding day, I was hiding in the back door and Sebastian was like banging the door and was like, let me in, let me in. I want to see you. And my dad's like, not yet. It's like, no, let me in.
I want to wait. Let's do this.
And I could sense that that's Jesus at this time and this age, especially with our technologies and everything that's happening. Like Jesus is really returning. And I used to not believe that, but it's actually scary. With the times that we're living in, that if not us, then my son will see the coming home of the Lord.
Right.
And Jesus wants his bride.
Yes.
You know, and a bride that is surrendered, a bride that is spotless, a bride that is pure, a bride that's submitted, you know, a bride that is radiant and ready and ready, drenched with oil. And I'm like, Jesus, we need your oil in this day. We can't just run with our talents, our giftings, our platforms. And, you know, there's too many men of God and preachers that have fallen the last even 5 years since COVID. Lord, we need the oil of God. You know, let it not just be about one man, Lord, but we need you again. We need the sanctification. And you know, sometimes there is a message of hope, and that is part of the gospel. But something about the Catherine Kuhlman generation, where there's so many people that has even rose up at that time, and it is death to self. Because when there's death to self, you can magnify the Lord. There is a resurrection. There's a sanctification and a purification, and that we actually have entered a time where we have just surrendered our hearts, our desires. I'm like, Lord, have your way. And it doesn't look like what we used to ever want, but I'm just like, Lord, have your way. Have your way in us. You know, like take all of us, you know, and more of you and all of you. And that's all our hearts desire.
And I think one key of being a healthy minister or a healthy anything is a healthy family. You know, families break from a lack of health. Families fall apart. People that are broken will break things and will break relationships. And so that's one key. That's why it's so important to have a healthy family and have a safe space for people to be able to be real and be themselves, to not be afraid to hide things that will eventually come back and bite you in the butt.
Absolutely.
100%.
You guys, thank you so much for sharing your wisdom and your testimonies. And
thank you guys.
Everything that you've poured out today. We are so honored to have you guys on the podcast today. We love you guys. We love your heart so much. And we would love for you guys to pray for our partners and friends, if you will. Pray a blessing, pray wherever Holy Spirit leads. But if you guys would pray, that would be amazing.
Awesome.
Amen. Amen. So yes, thank you, Lord. Father, in the name of Jesus. Lord, I just pray right now, Lord, for every person that will watch this podcast, Lord, every person that will hear this podcast, and especially God, our partner, our friends, Lord. And Father, I just pray, Lord, today, Lord, that you would encounter them afresh, God. Lord, I just pray for that fresh encounter of the Holy Spirit, God. I pray that where hearts have become maybe hardened or dulled or discouraged, Lord, I pray, Holy Spirit, that you would encounter every heart, Lord, in the name of Jesus, God, that you would release, God, just that oil of the Holy Spirit upon every heart, Lord, that you would release a fresh fire, God, today, Lord, that you would ignite again every heart again, that you would restore the passion, that you would restore the hunger, that you would restore that awe, that even the fear of the Lord, God, in the hearts of our listeners and our viewers today, God. And I'm just reminded of the verse in Joel 2:25, where the Lord is saying, I will restore to you the years that the locust has eaten. I just declare that over every person watching and listening, that the Lord is restoring to you the years the locust has eaten, because Jesus is greater than the locust. Jesus is greater than the devourer. And I declare and decree that everything that the enemy has meant to steal or delay from your life, from your destiny, is being restored. I declare even before the end of
2025 that you will see the manifestation of God's restoration, of God's redemption in your life, in your family, in your finances, in the name of Jesus. Yes. Lord, I thank you for divine restoration, divine redemption, and the fulfillment of your promises. In every life, in Jesus' name.
Yes, Lord. And we just declare, God, the light of Christ would shine in their homes right now in the name of Jesus, God. Yes. As they follow you, God, the light of Christ would just shine in every circumstance, Lord. In their cars, in every situation. Because where your light is, there is no darkness, Father. Yes, we just bless even those single mothers. We pray for those mothers that are staying home, that are working. Yes, God, where there's weakness. God, I pray for the joy of the Lord would just be their strength, Lord, right now. The people that are wanting to give up, God, I thank you, God, in their marriage. We just pray in the name of Jesus, God, your breakthrough anointing and resurrection to come. We speak for alignment and lies to dissolve, Lord. We thank you for your power, for your goodness and your shine and your heaven's interruption to come like lightning and thunder, God. We pray for those babies, God, that you are raising up to serve in the kingdom of God. We thank you for that anointing, that protection over their heads, Lord, and their hearts, their eyes, their souls. Set them apart, Lord. Set them apart, God. We thank you for this generation and the generation to come, God. Thank you that you are purifying your bride. Thank you for your Holy Spirit. That, Lord, thank you, God, that you would shake them so much as they're listening to this. Lord. They will never be the same again. God, they're not going to think the same. They're going to soar, God, in the name of Jesus, in how they speak, in how they see, higher and higher and higher. I pray for a unison, God, in marriages, God, in parenting, God, and in ministry. Yes, we thank you, God, Lord, that there is a family and a ministry, that there is room for both, Lord. Yes. And for those ministers who have been struggling, who have been tired, who can't get ends meet, Lord, we thank you, God, for your supernatural provision, provision of finances, provision of strength, provision right now of refreshment, God. I pray that you would come and strengthen these people for the long run, that they will not stumble, fall, or give up, God. I pray in Jesus' name that you would carry them through, Lord. Carry them through. God, break everything else that is not of you, God. Yes, and I pray that there would be a refining in every area of their lives to magnify you, because you are worthy of it all. Yes, and we thank you, God, for a brand new wineskin, God, that they can close the old and open the new doors and step into everything that you have been called them to, God. Since they were a little kid, Lord, I thank you, God, that those dreams that you put in their hearts, God, would ignite again, Lord, for the glory of the King. We thank you for even a new decade of your purification in the bride, in your kingdom. And we thank you, God, for your blessing, for your blessing to come, Lord. God, thank you. You're doing a new thing. You're doing a new thing, and the old doesn't fit anymore. And in the name of Jesus, we just seal this in the blood of Jesus. And we just bless. We thank you that victory is yours, and that's what we're walking on. In Jesus' name.
Amen. Thank you, guys. Thank you so much for coming on the podcast.
Thank you for having us.
Thank you, guys. You guys are awesome. Yeah. Such an amazing power couple for the Lord. Seriously.
Praise God.
You guys are champions and leaders and forerunners. And it's an honor to do this.
Thank you.
Hi, this is David from Langley, British Columbia. This podcast is made possible by partners like me. When you partner with KCM, you're helping send free resources like this podcast to people around the world. Find more faith-filled resources at kcmcanada.ca.
Thank you for joining us today. We hope this episode has charged your faith. And if it did, make sure to subscribe and share this podcast. We also have a free PDF resource with study notes from this episode. We encourage you to download and go through it to stay charged, connected, and walking in victory. If you've been encouraged by this episode and want to help make a difference, consider becoming a partner. Visit the link in the description to learn more.